step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
And welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Wednesday morning. It's a game day for the Predators. Game 3 coming up later today against the Arizona Coyotes. And to help us talk about that series as well as all the other series going on in the NHL, we bring in our good friend Scott Burnside from The Athletic, one of the best in the business. Scott, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. My daily routine is pretty much set now. I stay up till 1 or so in the morning, sleep, get up, have breakfast, coffee, and then turn on the TV and magically hockey is back on. So I'm looking forward to more of the same. It's been hard to get your head around, at least from my perspective, just the sheer volume of games. And for me, I just think the pace, for the most part, has been incredible when you consider that these 24 teams playing out of the two hub cities have been off for 4.5 months, and to jump in, especially for the qualifying round teams, to jump into elimination style hockey right away. I think it's been remarkable to watch.
I totally agree, and it's been pretty much sensory overload, I think, in a very good way. So happy to have hockey back and hockey on all day long. Obviously, Scott, the Predator series against the Coyotes, a big topic of conversation locally here in Nashville. What have been some of your takeaways from that matchup so far?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I thought in game one, probably not a good reminder for Preds fans or the Preds organization, I thought in game one they looked very much like the team that sort of sleptwalked through that first round series last spring against the Dallas Stars. I wondered, you know, where was the memo that this was playoff hockey? And I wondered how they would be able to react in a short series, because, of course, you know, you don't get in the rhythm of a seven-game series. You do have a little bit of a luxury, right? If you have a stinker in one game or certainly in game one, you do have a little bit of runway to make some adjustments, to not over-coach if you're thinking of lineup changes, all those kinds of things. In a best of five, you have to decide right away if what is going wrong, you know, what kind of fix it needs, or whether you can just let the leash out a little bit more. And I thought that Predators lineup yesterday really rewarded John Hines for his faith in them. And they look like a Predators team that I still think has the potential to be a dark horse in this playoff series, right? I mean, they still now at the best 2 of 3. But I thought, you know, the balance of scoring, they didn't have a great first period, and UC Saros bailed them out, as he did in really, you know, allowing them to get back into the playoff picture during the regular season before the pause. But I did think the leadership stepped up and were really the dominant team after that first period. So it'll be fascinating to see what happens with the quick turnaround. Can the Predators build on that, or do they fall back? It's obviously a real test today in a compressed schedule, but I thought it was impressive the way that they did rebound in game two, because, you know, to lose game two is essentially to lose that series.
Yeah, and we're also fascinated, Scott, to see what John Hines does in goal. Saros has played well, I think, for really 5 straight periods after he didn't have much chance in the first period of game one. It is a back-to-back, so I'm automatically conditioned to just assume to switch, and Pecorine is a pretty good guy to switch to, but I don't know. What do you think on that? What do you think will and should happen there?
Yeah, I honestly don't get the idea of switching. I mean, I understand the logic of it. I understand when you're looking at, you know, from 10,000 feet, why not go to Pecorine? Listen, UC Saros, like everyone else, hasn't played for 4.5 months. So we're not talking about a back-to-back situation in games 70 and 72 or 70 and 71. I think that, especially given the way he played, you know, listen, that first period performance yesterday might have saved this series for the Nashville Predators. So I don't think, especially then you're turning to a goaltender who hasn't played and now we're closing in on 5 months. I don't see the logic in that. I know last night that Rod Brind'Amour went with James Reimer in game three of that series against Carolina and New York Rangers. Look, Kane, different dynamic. Canes were up 2-0. Canes were in control of that series. I think he felt it was important for James Reimer to get a game in. This is a different thing. If you win this game today, this afternoon, you're in a prime position to move on to the technically the first round of the playoffs. And I just think to make a goaltending switch and go to a goaltender who hasn't played in 5 months, I think is to court disaster. And I think it'll be fascinating to see what happens there. And, of course, now we don't know what Antti Raanta, the backup in Arizona, who left the game with an unspecified, it sounds like an injury sustained maybe in warm-up, but and I thought that Darcy Kuemper was a little bit shaky yesterday. Maybe Rick Tocchet in the perfect world will go to Raanta today to give him a break. I don't know if he's going to have that luxury or not. So goaltending issues will be certainly part of the narrative today. If I'm the coach, I keep UC Saros in the Predator net.
Scott Burnside from The Athletic on the line with us. And Scott, you brought up the Carolina Hurricanes making quick work of the New York Rangers in their qualifying round series. We saw the run that Carolina put together last season. How big of a threat are they in the Eastern Conference, in your opinion?
Yeah, no, I think they were. It was, listen, I like the Canes in that series. It was interesting, and you know this, Joe, from doing, if you did the predictions with The Athletic like the rest of us, and if you didn't, shame on you. But the you know, there were a lot of people who felt the Rangers, because they dominated the Canes during the regular season, all their young talent, Shesterkin in net, although we missed the first two games, obviously. A lot of people like that Rangers, the team in that series. And the Canes, to me, not just by winning three straight, but by really dominating an emerging young team, I think they serve notice that they are, I think they're probably as dangerous as they were a year ago. It looks like Dougie Hamilton is close to returning to the lineup, but Sammy Vatanen, who was picked up at the trade deadline from New Jersey, was excellent in that first round. Peter Mrazek was outstanding in games one and two in goal, and now it looks like they're the kind of team that, because of the compressed schedule and because of the way the games are going to unfold moving forward, they have the luxury of going, you know, goalie one and 1A sort of thing. And Andrei Svechnikov, with whom I spent some time this year, just a dynamic first-round performance for that team. They're deep, they're fast, they're well-coached. So to answer your question, I think they're going to match up very well against whichever of the four round-robin teams that they end up playing come next week.
Well, no one asked for my prediction, Scott. I gladly would have done it,
excuses.
But no one asked. but I would have, I swear, I would have predicted that the teams that we all complained about being in this, the Canadiens and Blackhawks, would at least be some kind of trouble to the five seeds they are playing right now. Obviously, Oilers, Blackhawks, two very, I guess, kind of similar games, just different results. I mean, I think maybe my favorite game so far to watch was game two of the Penguins-Canadiens, that Price-Murray battle. How do you see those two playing out from here?
Yeah, no, it was interesting to watch both Edmonton and Pittsburgh as they had to regroup after disappointing losses in game one. And both teams, you know, at the end of it, I was like, I sort of imagined that both Edmonton and Pittsburgh would come out and really put their foot down and maybe establish themselves as the heavy favorites that they are. And it didn't really happen that way. You know, Matt Murray was really good for the Pittsburgh Penguins, especially in the third period of a very close game in game two. Before the Penguins sort of broke it open late in that game, ended up with a 3-1 win. But Carey Price has been outstanding, and he gives the Canadiens all kinds of confidence. You know, they have to stop, even though the Penguins' power play stinks, they've got Canadiens have to stay out of the penalty box. But they do have, you know, there's enough of, I think, a seed of doubt that I'm fascinated by Game 3 tonight. And Edmonton, you know, it's just Corey Crawford wasn't very good in game two, and Connor McDavid was electrifying. But, you know, the Mikko Koskinen wasn't excellent in goal for the Oilers. I still think, you know, it would be fascinating to see how Chicago, you know, is that sort of the pin that burst the bubble, losing in game two as they did, sort of falling apart in the third period. or do they regroup? And they have a core of players with three Stanley Cup rings. I think, again, this Oilers team is not really hitting on all cylinders just yet. So I think in both series, I still expect Edmonton and Pittsburgh to emerge. But you are absolutely right. Montreal and Chicago have made this already fascinating play-in tournament just ripe with drama, because there still is a great potential for at least one of those teams to pull off the upset. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in Game 3. Both of those are later this evening, one in Edmonton and one in Toronto, obviously.
Scott, last thing for you here. I want to ask you about one of the Predators' big rivals, and that is the Dallas Stars. They lost six in a row before the break, came back, got pretty well dominated by the Predators in the exhibition game, got up 3-1 the other day against Vegas, and then just fell apart in the third period. When you watch the Stars play right now, what do you think's going on with that group?
Yes, and having spent a year there covering the team and working for them and traveling with them, yeah, it's a very curious organization. And because I think that when you look at them, you think, okay, that team really could do a lot of damage. And you're right, they didn't. I think you can throw all of that stuff. You know, the LA Kings were probably the best team in the NHL at the pause. So, you know, it's all a relative thing. But for a team like Dallas, I think it is relevant, because at some point you need something positive to build on. Listen, the Islanders played very poorly going into the pause. They have come out against Florida, reestablished the identity under Barry Trotz. That's how you do it. Dallas Stars aren't there yet, and maybe it doesn't matter. And I think the round robin teams, I think, especially in the West, because the West is very wide open, I'm not sure it matters if the Stars are one or four after the round robin. Well, they won't be one, presumably after losing to Vegas the other night. But I just don't think it matters. But at some point, you know, we've got to see something from Tyler Seguin. Got to see something from Jamie Benn. Ben Bishop was only okay. Listen, you know those guys have the ability to be much better than they have shown in this little window. And I wonder when it'll happen. They've got two more round-robin games before they're going to get set for you know, sort of do-or-die hockey. I'm not sure you can just flip that switch. And I think that's why it must be troubling for Rick Bowness, the interim coach there, that they have been flat or haven't been able to sustain long periods there. So I think that's a fascinating thing, because I do think if they start to cook, they're going to be a real handful once we get into the best of seven series.
Scott Burnside from The Athletic has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Scott, thanks so much for joining us as always, and enjoy another day of hockey, my friend. You've earned it.
Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. When we come back, we'll dive back into the Preds and look ahead to Game 3 today against the Arizona Coyotes. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.